It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Shizzy!
No, that's Matthew Sosie.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yes.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Sosie.
Hello, film lovers, and welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. Show is also available as a podcast and is also available on iTunes. So do something about that, will you? If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook. Working the board, it feels like 2009 all over again and over Glenn, but I'm glad to have her back. Melissa Davis, how are you?
Hello, I'm good. How are you?
It's so good to see you behind the board again.
Oh, I'm always here, but over there in the other studio.
I know. So we can't talk about scheduling, juggling. It's just, you don't want to hear that. So, but it's good to have you here.
Thank you. Good to be here.
And she has the Big Lebowski on her queue next, so... We don't have an intro music like what is Kobe watching, but maybe we'll. What is Melissa watching?
Oh, boy.
So, anyway. Also sitting in with me, writer, film guy, and one of the keynote speakers at the B-Movie Celebration in Franklin, Mike White, author of Impossibly Funky. How are you, sir?
Hello. I'm good. Thank you.
Thank you for coming up. He's going to hop into his limo as soon as the show is over and hightail at the Franklin. Limo so long, it's only going to have to travel about 10 feet, and
right.
He's in Franklin. So, and by the way, you can... probably listen to this on Franklin's College's station. You never know. Well, ladies and gentlemen, a film opening today. We'll get to the big film. I don't know why. It's NPR. But a film that's been, 25 years in the making, not since maybe The Color of Money and The Hustler. Has there been a longer stretch of time between sequels? I know it two is not in the title, although it could very well easily. It's called Wall Street, Money Never Sleeps. And it's, yes, the teaming of Oliver Stone and Michael Douglas. And Douglas got an Oscar for this. And, of course, anytime I bring up Michael Douglas, I always have to say he wins the Academy Award for Best Score.
Someone reminded me I once said greed is good. Now it seems it's legal. Because everybody's drinking the same Kool-Aid. Now, I've been considered a pretty smart guy. And maybe I was in prison too long.
One watch and one mobile phone.
But sometimes it's the only place to stay sane and look out through those bars and say, is everybody out there nuts?
Gordon Gekko was one of the biggest names on Wall Street before he went to prison for insider trading.
That name doesn't mean anything anymore.
If it weren't for people who took risks, where would we be in this world?
You might want to wipe some of the drool off your face.
Please allow me to introduce myself. I'm a man of wealth and taste.
Mr. Gekko!
My name is Jacob Moore. I'm going to marry your daughter.
I've been around for...
My daughter hasn't spoken to me in years, and you know it.
I never knew my dad as a peaceful person. That always scared me.
Pleased to meet you. Hope you get my...
I know it sounds crazy,
oh, yeah.
But people change.
It's not who you think he is, Jake. He'll hurt us.
Why don't you start calling me Gordon? You're only part of the family business.
You got my attention. But when you don't know what you're doing... It's fatal, Mr. Moore.
So much you don't know, Jacob.
They took my life, and when I got out, who's waiting for me? Nobody!
This is not about the money. This is about you and me.
It's about doing the right thing.
It's about the game.
I did tell you, Jake. I did warn you.
It's easy to get in. It's hard to get out.
Is that a threat?
Absolutely.
As with the films of Oliver Stone, he always has an impressive cast with him involved in this picture. Backing up Michael Douglas, Shia LaBeouf, who apparently just needs to stay away from pharmacies in Chicago. Carrie Mulligan, right off of her nomination for An Education. Some of the other voices you recognize, Josh Brolin, Frank Langella, Susan Sarandon. Okay, I'm going to give a little spoiler alert. Yes, there is a Charlie Sheen cameo.
Oh, nice.
Yes, he's available, really, if you think about it. So I have to admit, this was a film I was actually kind of dreading and then kind of looking forward to because I thought, well, do we really need a sequel to this? And then, of course, with the economic crisis, the answer is yes. So maybe it would be like The Color of Money was with The Hustler. Well, yes and no a little bit in this case. Yes, the Gordon Gekko character gets a comeback and he writes a book. And basically he's teaming up with the Shia LaBeouf character who's with his daughter. And they start trading each other favors. My big gripe was if this was going to be a complete rehash of the storyline on Wall Street, it's not completely, but it comes real damn close. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a few moments of humanization of the Gekko character, which I guess was expected, but the way the script winds up in the last, especially the last 20 minutes, doesn't ring true at all. I mean, Douglas is fine. You know, this is like putting on an old pair of slippers that won him an Academy Award. And a wonderful wife, among other things. But everybody in this... Oh, by the way, I had to mention Eli Wallach. Eli Wallach's probably, what, 93 damn years old, and he's got a couple of really cool scenes as an aging banker. But this film, does anybody learn anything new from this about how, you know, banks are bad and brokers are bad and we're good? No, that's really, it's not since Capitalism, A Love Story. If I go, well, tell me something I don't know. That's the main problem with the picture. I mean, everybody in it is fine, but it's a combination of been there, done that with the Michael Douglas character being a puppet master to a young upstart. And stuff.
Big shocker there.
Yeah, I know. Big shocker. Big. Well, you know,
didn't see that in the preview.
But you know what? He has great hair. Mm. And
does he do the typical Shia LaBeouf? No.
Oh, I was talking about Douglas's hair. Oh, okay. But yeah, he's well, except he's not in a car, and Carey Mulligan doesn't wear half clothing. There's not a gripe about that. Why'd you shut him off? I'm the one you usually shut off. I'll get to that material in a little bit. But no, it's there's a few, and is style-wise for Stone, let's put it this way. There's a few shots of dominoes falling.
Oh, goodness.
Yes, I'm afraid so. I can't believe I'm saying that. I guess looking back, I miss young, crazy Oliver Stone. I really do. And Melissa and I have talked over. I know you think of John Hughes when it comes to 80 films. Mm-hmm. I think of Spike Lee and Oliver Stone when it comes to films of the 80s. Young, crazy. Whether you like it or don't like it, he's gonna go down with the ship and he's gonna have it done this way. Well, he hasn't done that in a while. He didn't do that with W. He didn't do that with World Trade Center. God, the last film I can think of was probably Nixon, and that's 15 years ago.
Oh, my God, that's been that long.
Can you believe that?
Wow.
And I love Nixon because it's so operatic and Shakespearean and just ridiculous, and I thought he was going to do that with W, and could have. I guess he could have, but he didn't. So right. It's kind of like watching Oliver Stone films now is kind of like listening to Aerosmith now. I just, you know, do we want them young and raw and coked out of their brains and just, you know, giving you something? Or do you want to hear four ballads on a single album?
Is he a grandpa now?
Who, Oliver Stone?
Yeah. Maybe it's chilled him out.
He's got to be.
Being a grandpa chills you out.
Really?
And you were
Tell that to Alan Arkin and Little Miss Sunshine.
It's true.
I'm sure there are better examples, but that's the first one that came to mind, said the film host. So, yeah, it's just, without giving away too much of the ending, it felt like Parenthood.
Mm.
The series.
The roller
and
coaster
the movie
scene?
Sort of, kind of. It's so I can't believe it. I guess I expect high marks when I'm watching an Oliver Stone film. And I guess I expect high lunatic marks as well. Maybe I'm an old curmudgeon and I'm wanting the Stone of 1989. But, I don't know. I'm also wondering how many people are going to see this that didn't see the original Wall Street. You know, because as Robert Altman says in every commentary on his DVD when he was alive, movies are made for 14-year-olds.
Right.
I don't know too many 14-year-olds are going to see this film. of any gender.
Do you think it's important to see the first one before you see this one, since it's been so long?
Of course, because I'm an old goat, and I think you should see the first of everything before you see. I won't let my daughter watch the Steve Martin Pink Panther films until we get through the Peter Sellers. And by the way, the first two Pink Panther films, not the yuck fest that, well,
no.
they're amusing, but not the 70s yuck fest that you and I grew up on.
Right.
I keep telling my daughter, they're going to get better, I promise. So there's some movie tension in our house. To answer your question shortly, yeah, I think you should. But then again, it's a similar storyline. You know, people are going to get hosed one way, shape, or form, and the economy's bad. So I guess if you know nothing about this, and in your world, hotels are red and houses are green, you'll probably enjoy this film. But I'm 40 years old, and I saw the first, and I didn't. So here you go.
Otto, don't flatter yourself. It wasn't that great.
No, I'm afraid not. But something that is all, do I dare say it's great? I don't know yet. On paper, it just sounds like cinematic Mad Libs. It's called Brand New Day. It opens today. It is the first that I know of Aborigine musical. And it's a very simple story of boy meets girl, boy loses girl, boy has to go to seminary school run by German Jeffrey Rush, and then he leaves that to go through the outback with a guy who may or may not be his uncle. They're Aborigines, and it's a musical. It's a musical, folks. Give it a listen.
Ah, Billy, welcome back to the city. I have great faith in you, Billy. You can go forth and help people.
Thou shalt not steal.
Thou shalt not starve. I have been itemizing supplies from the canteen. I should have known one of your Aborigine kind would be worth nothing.
That's not true, Father.
What?
Hey, boy, where you been come from?
I've been running away from boarding school. I want to go home.
Where you home, boy?
Broome.
I'm going to take this boy home to Broome. Yeah.
Wake up. You're going to broom. Remember?
Yeah. You ready, kid?
Oh, my God. We've run over an Aborigine.
How far exactly is Broome?
We don't need maps, Slippery. We have an Aboriginal elder.
I will find the boy.
You got a woman?
Well, I got this girl, Rosie. Sometimes it's hard. But I don't know if she liked me,
but I didn't know she liked me.
Run, come on, quick!
So, would you like to come out back for a hot cup of tea?
Gonna dump us by the side of the road.
Everybody say.
Ah.
I guess I'm a sucker for musicals that just don't care. I don't mean that it's effort, that they don't put any effort into it, but if you just go balls out and embrace your silliness. I think that's especially when you have a thing when I keep saying it's an Aborigine musical. It feels a lot like a Bollywood musical, except it's only 85 minutes.
Oh, nice.
Yes. So I guess it's a good stepping stone. You can watch this, but then you have to watch Lagan, which is the greatest Bollywood musical ever, a 3-hour musical about cricket. That's mm-hmm. always good. But this one has that. It has the light, frothy. I mean, just a really likable film. And yes, there's a big climax on a beach in which we find out all the characters are linked. That's what you do in musicals, I guess.
Right.
But if you just embrace the silliness, which this film does wholeheartedly, and this is one of the things Mamma Mia needed to do sooner. But I think of this film the same way I do Woody Allen's Everybody Says I Love You, only better singing in this one, and Kenneth Branagh's Love, Labor's Lost.
That's not tough to do.
Better singing in this one. No, but I understand why Woody and Ken, because I know him. But it was the, you know, anybody can sing thing. There was no Marnie Nixon's, and obviously some people sounded better than others. But Mamma Mia was the same way. And obviously, in that one, the women fared better than the men, which mm-hmm. is quite okay. But no, this it's just light and fun and really cool. And Jeffrey Rush, who sounds every time I hear him in this, he reminds me of Casanova Frankenstein in Mystery Men. Anytime he plays somebody German, I'm right. like, he should be fighting Captain Amazing. So good for him on that.
Good call on the Casanova Frankenstein.
I love Mystery Men.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I'm one of those. I was one of the, I think you and I were, what, two? You two were like three of the nine people that saw that right. when it opened in theaters. Melissa, look at me. That's me. Right, not right. four, three. I'll add that to your account. But okay. But no, that's a fun superhero movie. And it's fun. Jeffrey Rush knows how to chew scenery, even in something as bad as House on Haunted Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was just the cast in that movie. It was so amazing. Movie. You know, Pee Wee Herman and
Jenny
Tom
Garofalo.
Waits
and yes, yeah. a non... Well, he's sort of a refined, twitchy Ben Stiller.
Oh, yeah.
And Hank Azaria.
Yeah, I could actually stand Ben Stiller in that
movie. You could
actually...
Even mm-hmm. when he says Pantera's Box.
Yes.
That's anyway. I'm not going to talk about that. But no. But anyway, back to this one. Yes. But Rush plays a priest who keeps Coke and Coca-Cola and chocolate under lock and key.
Oh, that
and,
kind of Coke.
Yes, I corrected myself. Mm-hmm. We just got done talking about the Oliver Stone film. But this is a lot of fun. It's a good, nice little romp. And, you know, if you don't like musicals, it's only 85 minutes. Give it a chance. I don't mind if there's maybe one, no more than three musicals a year, especially in the big budget musicals.
Not to put you on the spot, but who
Please
directed
do.
That one?
Who directed Brand New Day?
Yeah.
I think Rachel Perry, if I remember correctly. I think I'm saying that right. And speaking of which, just a reminder, here at Film Sociology, Katy Perry is always invited.
Okay.
We will not turn her down like the people down the street.
Well, you can't see her, so.
Right? I would see her. So it doesn't matter. It's... Then again, I want you know, Elmo to hang out with Christina Hendricks. But anyway, enough of my dark psyche. We'll move on. are you typing over there?
Sorry, I'm getting on Facebook.
Oh, I'm
so that
sorry.
All
so
of
you
our,
can answer the questions.
Can,
oh, very nice.
Can converse with us.
I was ready to move on to the next film, I guess. So I was going to see if you could hit the audio. I'm sorry.
Oh, I could do that.
She multitasks.
You know, I am
wow.
board hopping today.
You are board hopping today.
I could do
you
the
are,
things you ask me.
You are multitasking. And as you know, we often say to Lisa in the room, you're a woman. So here's what I think of Brand New Day.
Yes.
Okay, moving on. Also opening in Indianapolis, which means it opened in the rest of the world 3 months ago. From the director of Hiroshima Mon Amour, it's Wild Grass, a new French film where a woman with better-looking hair than I loses her purse. It's picked up by a total stranger, and their worlds collide, some good and some bad. And it's free. It's up to you to decide how good and how bad their encounters are.
Il a fui, il m'écrit, il a éventré les pneus de ma voiture.
Pas écrit.
Non.
Eh oui, on fait connaissance au téléphone.
On parle, on se rappelle.
On s'écrit.
Oui, on s'écrit.
Non.
Je vous demande, je vous prie, laissez-moi tranquille.
Non, écoutez, non, c'est pas possible d'être comme ça. Est-ce que je suis tranquille, moi? Je suis plus depuis que je vous connais. Enfin, je veux dire...
Thank you.
another reason why it feels like it's 2009 all over again is I love playing foreign film trailers, especially when Melissa's working the board. Because this show is universal, the universal language of cinema.
Bonjour.
I also remind you that WFYI and Film Sociology is available on Twitter. So you can give us a tweet. And if you have a question or a comment, Melissa's multitasking. She's great that way. So we can find out what you have to respond to. Now, Melissa, you wanted me to ask about your French film habit?
Yeah, because it's so interesting, and I just have to tell you about
it. Please do.
Okay.
The floor is yours.
Netflix?
Yes.
I have to say, it's like the greatest invention probably in the last 10 years.
I'm almost there.
Okay,
there.
Because you can look for films. Okay, foreign film, comedy, French, right? So you
right.
can get the language that you want. I like to go to sleep to a nice French film. I don't care what it is.
Really?
I don't care what the topic is. I like to hear French as I'm drifting off to bed.
Oh, very nice.
Very nice.
Wow. When did this start?
I just realized I could do this, right? Because
okay.
I can search by language and genre, which is awesome. So I like to, you know, put up a little French film, go
so
to sleep.
What have you watched?
I don't know what I've watched.
Just,
I have no clue.
So long as it's French on the cover.
I just know it's French, yeah. Right.
Okay, now here's your sign. You have to keep a list.
Okay, I'll try.
You have to keep
I've been
a
watching,
list.
And it's on Netflix, and they always suggest it to a lot of people, but it's about a teacher who is in rural France teaching students in a one-room schoolhouse.
The Class. Oh, not The Class.
No,
That's a really great film.
It's actually a great film. If you just...
Okay.
Search documentaries, French, Netflix, all that. You'll find
Not
it.
To be confused with The Piano Teacher.
No.
No.
sweet film.
No.
And it's there's you hear so, little kids speaking in French, which I think is just adorable. And it's
for
it,
me, it's Tarkovsky puts me to sleep. Yeah. It's all about Solaris.
Oh, jeez. All of it.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
I did a play a few years ago where I had to play in Italian, and throughout the entire run and rehearsals, I listened to Fellini, Visconti, Antonioni, just so I could get the cadence in my head so I wouldn't sound like bad community theater spicy meatball Italian. So, no, that's cool. So, I guess I should ask, are there any French horror films for your husband to watch?
Absolutely. I'm sure there are, but they are not going on.
I was told on AM there is a French zombie film called La Horde that I need to watch for.
That'd be cool.
For research. But, no, I bring this up since we're talking on air. but your husband, Melissa, has a bad habit of watching things that you don't like waking up to in the middle of the night.
No, like Mike Tyson getting his ear, ripping Evander Holyfield's ear off at 5 in the morning.
Not really.
I woke up to some disturbing films, but it's okay. We'll go on.
How about Brotherhood of the Wolf? That might help you out. It's a French horror action film with Hong Kong fighting.
Wow.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty
cool. Bloody Mallory, was that a French film?
I think it is.
Okay.
And then District B-13. Which
was those are great.
The French martial arts buddy cop film.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, lots of parkour in there, and it's very John Carpenter-esque. Very good
film.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. You're going to have a big, tall pile of DVDs waiting for you. But they're French, so you'll sleep well.
I'm going to have French nightmares. I don't know what I'd say.
Well, would they be subtitled? Or
they'd have Jerry Lewis in them.
Oh, that's bad.
Good.
When's he going to die so we can all see the day the clown cried?
I've been waiting for
have
that.
Been,
He's okay. getting puffier and puffier
He looks like
each
Jerry
year.
Krause. Doesn't he look
yeah.
like Jerry, for those who are basketball fans, the owner of the former owner of the Bulls, it looks like Jabba. No. We'll get to a break later. There is a series of films. I remember the Golden Turkey Awards we talked about earlier by the Medved Brothers. They had a category, the worst film you never saw. And that's one of them, The Day the Clown Cried. It was his last film. There was a long stretch where he didn't do any movies. But it was like 1972, directed, wrote, I think starred in it. And he is a circus clown in the Holocaust.
Oh, my God.
And he entertains the children before the big day, yes, makes Jacob the Liar seem like the sorrow and the pity.
Right.
And, I mean, nobody saw it, they trashed it, Jerry had financing problems, and I mean, like George Lucas with the Star Wars Christmas special, grabbed every single copy he could get his hands on, and will not show it to anybody, but there was a story that Harry Shearer saw it at Jerry Lewis's house and said, it is everything you hoped it would be.
Yeah.
So.
In a good way or bad way.
I'm sure it's all on, you know, old U-matic tapes.
I want a keg of beer and find out for myself.
Disintegrating in a vault someplace.
Probably. So, no, this needs, I think Criterion needs to get off their duff and get this film made. You know, if not, then the collaboration either with Blue Entertainment or Anchor Bay. Somebody's got to put this film out.
Scorsese's going to rescue it as soon as he dies.
That's right. Forget Fellini.
Yep.
Forget any noir from the 40s. Oh, He's going to save that film.
Nagisa Oshima? No. Don't worry about it. It's going to be right there.
Wow. And I remember, and this is one that didn't even win the film. I remember what won the worst film you never saw, Billy Jack Goes to Washington.
Oh, yeah.
And I own the Tom Laughlin box set. Mm-hmm. Don't judge me. I've watched them all. I've heard them all. He does. Guess what? He does commentary on all four films. Nice. He is misunderstood. He is in that Pete Rose, Ike Turner, who me?
Right.
School of I didn't do anything wrong. So, well, on that note, we are going to take a break, and we're going to talk about what is new on DVD, what is old on DVD, and really what should be on DVD and Blu-ray.
That'd be nice.
If we have any power. That's up to you, listeners. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
I'm Jesse Thorne, host of The Sound of Young America. Every week, I invite people who I think are awesome over to my house for a conversation about what makes them awesome. Comedians, authors, rappers, rock and roll guys. Don't let the name fool you. It's not a kids' show, but it is a show for people who appreciate fun. I hope you'll tune in this week to The Sound of Young America from Public Radio International.
Are either one of these any good? Sir?
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs. You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store.
And the video store is open. Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point, WFYI.org. Also available as a podcast and on iTunes. And if you have a question or a comment that we can read on the air, Mike Perry, you can email us at you can email me at msocey at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook. WFYI and Film Sociology is also on Twitter, and Melissa's checking that as we speak. Oh, I was reminded off air that I forgot to mention with Wall Street, the fine tradition of Oliver Stone films with really well-written female characters. Carrie Mulligan, as wonderful she is in Education, has about as much to do in this film as Daryl Hannah did in the first Wall Street. Ah. And guess what? No Sean Young cameo. Mm. She could have came dressed as Catwoman and tried to invade. She does that with every director now. It makes no difference.
No matter what the movie is.
No matter what the movie.
She shows up as Catwoman.
That's true. Or she does monologues from The Boost, much to James Woods' dismay. And other things. Okay, new Mike. Out on DVD. Sorry, Mike White is sitting in with me. Or as I love, is it not the Chuck and Buck guy?
Right.
How often do you get that?
A lot.
Really?
I still get fan mail whenever he's got a new movie out. It's, hey, Mike, we'd like you to come out.
Do you respond?
Yeah.
And?
Just say, wrong guy, sorry. Oh. Actually, I've sold a couple books because I thought that Mike White was putting a book out, so...
Well, that's deceitful.
Exactly.
It's like I think it was in Premiere Magazine. They had the Lawrence Fishburne 8x10, but it was signed by Sam Jackson, signed it as Lawrence Fishburne.
Right.
So it's one of those. All right, new on DVD this week, a product of the late spring, early summer blockbuster season, and well, folks, you pretty much said no for the most part on this one. Ridley Scott's Robin Hood. Just a reminder, folks, yes, it has been 20 years since that thing with Kevin Costner and Kevin Reynolds was made.
It still looms large.
There's a lot of people that are stunned that it's 20 years. I know. It feels like yesterday. We make fun of it. It's become a kind of snarky cinema punchline as far as the stopping with the accent halfway through the film. We know this, and the god-awful Bryan Adams song, among other things. But Rickman was not bad. But in this one, there's no fun. Oh, there are no merry. This is before the Merry Men became Merry Men. It's Russell Crowe. So guess what? Russell Crowe, Ridley Scott, looks and feels a lot like Gladiator, only in the woods and less sand and dad issues.
How's the cinematography on this one?
You know, technically with Scott films, Ridley or Tony, technically it's fine.
Okay.
It just looks and feels like Robin Hood. Should we play, do we have audio? Play this. Enjoy this.
A king does not bargain for the loyalty that every subject owes him. Without loyalty, there is no kingdom. There is nothing.
I'm here to speak for Sir Walter Locksley.
Speak, if you must.
If you're trying to build for the future, you must set your foundation strong. The laws of this land enslave people to its king. A king who demands loyalty but offers nothing in return. You build a country like you build a cathedral, from the ground up. Empower every man, and you will gain strength.
It seems we are to share my chamber. A ruse to convince the servants.
Well, if the aim is deception, should you not be addressing me as my husband or my dear?
Don't be ridiculous. Well, are you coming or not?
Ask me nicely.
Please, dear husband, will you share my chamber?
Still here, then? For the time being, refer to me as Sir Robert. I'll explain later. My men-at-arms. This is about as courtly as they get. Alan Adele, Will Scarlet, and Little John. Lady Marian.
I trust you had an historic evening.
Oh, for sure.
Lady Marian Locksley. My wife.
Well played. A bit rash, but well played nonetheless.
Yes, that's Kate Blanchett as Maid Marian, providing obligatory spunk, as you have to have. Mark Strong, who's become the kind of go-to blockbuster villain between this Kick-Ass and Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that guy. And who else? Mark Addy is Friar. Barely left Jamie Gertz at home. That's a shame. And William Hurt and Max von Sydow show up.
Oh, really?
Yes, with very little to do.
Okay, I have to ask.
Go ahead.
Max von Sydow, does he die in this film?
Well, yeah, he's 90.
Okay.
And he's blind. And
all right.
Yeah, there's a really sad scene where he's trying to fight blind.
All right.
And, yeah.
Because I'm working on a piece called The Deaths of Max von Sydow. So
really?
I guess I'll have to watch this for that.
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
Yeah.
Yeah, guess what? Robin Hood in this film has dad issues, too. Can we have a superhero? Can we have an action hero who has mom issues? Just once? No? Okay.
No, that makes them psycho.
Tony Stark, Thor, all of... No, it all has to be thanks,
Dad.
Hulk.
Otherwise, it's too sexualized. Sorry.
Unless you do... What if you do Hamlet properly?
Maybe.
Okay. Just checking. But, yes, it does feel a little bit like Gladiator, and it's a prequel. It's how the Merry Men... Well, it was before they got married. It's how they get together.
Men.
Yes, Surly Men. And, of course, it's set up
before
like...
Before they became men in tights.
No, there's no men in tights in this one. No, Cary Elwes is busy doing B-movie schlock.
Who was Will Scarlet in this one?
I don't remember.
No, Christian Slater.
No, it's not Christian Slater. But, how? Anyway, he's also available.
Oh, very nice.
Things, but not for this one. So, no, if you like Gladiator, I guess you'll like this. But and they were trying to brutally set it up like there's going to be another one of these. I don't know if there's going to be one or not. I don't know how much money this film made overseas, but didn't do all that well here. Not that we're supposed to follow numbers when it comes to film, but I think I'm going to take a rest from Robin Hood for another 20 years. It's really okay.
Otto, don't flatter yourself. It wasn't that great.
And something that was actually that great, and I hope we have the trailer for this. I have to double check. But it is the film that won Best Foreign Film at the Academy Awards this year. It was not The White Ribbon. It was not A Prophet. So anytime it's a film we don't know, we're like, hey, how'd that win Best Foreign Film? And sure enough, we watch it, and it's worth it. And it's The Secret in Their Eyes from Argentina. And it's a half mystery, half drama about an old murder case. And the two of the people that investigated it a long time ago, who were a couple, and now they've moved on, and she has become a powerful one, and he is a little bit disheveled. So here's some audio. Might be subtitles on radio.
Su Alteza. Yo quiero escribir sobre la causa de Morales.
¿Y qué sabe de escribir novelas vos?
En realidad nunca más hablamos de eso. ¿Por qué nunca más hablamos de eso?
¡Van a saber lo que es la justicia, hijo de puta!
Mi vida entera fue mirar para adelante. Atrás no es mi jurisdicción. Me declaro incompetente.
Well, this is a film that works on both levels of the mystery story of investigating an old case and the could or could not be love story. I don't want to give it away, but...
You're talking, I'm thinking of The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. Any similarity there?
They're foreign.
Okay. Old mystery.
Yeah. No, actually, you're right. You're right about that. The couple in this are a little more... I was going to...
Okay.
Is it closer to age range, maybe? Right. I was trying to come up with something a little more than that. Although the couple, that coupling is fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
A little unnerving, but fascinating nonetheless. And I can't wait for three. But no, this is one story and one story itself. So, okay. So no, it was once... For once, when you see when you see a lady in a cop drama, it's usually time to go get popcorn.
Right.
Aww.
Well, you know... I'm sorry.
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Am I wrong?
Hmm.
No, I know there are female women in crime films that actually do things.
Okay, I'm thinking female about women. Police Academy, right? When the female cops come up, that's funny.
Agent Sterling,
funny, right? Mm-hmm. And then what's the movie with Sharon Stone and Mary Gross when they're cops?
Feds.
Oh
my god!
You acknowledge Feds?
Wow,
you're
digging deep for that one.
She's about the 80s. But okay,
wasn't that Rebecca De Mornay?
Yes, it was. Okay.
And
Mary Gross.
Don't I get major props for knowing Mary Gross?
Oh,
yeah,
yeah,
you do, actually. That's very good. That's very... No, I guess I should
very
say...
Very unimportant.
But I guess I was thinking not so much of females as police officers, but if you see females in a lot of action films, they are usually waiting to be rescued or...
Kidnapped.
You know, the cop's wife or something like this. So, no.
Too bad.
It is too bad.
And then it becomes the personal issue. Now it's personal.
Unless they're the black sidekick.
Right.
And if you're married to your black sidekick, then it's really personal.
Oh,
so.
Yeah.
Anyway, go rent this one anyway. It's really, really good. It won the Oscar, and for good reason. Not since The Lives of Others have I been pleasantly surprised on what did win Best Picture and go, hey, it actually was the best of the lot. So, and I really, really enjoyed A Prophet. So here you go. Okay, now we're going to move on to some titles. Some of these are on Blu-ray. Some are not. So I guess I'll ask, do you own a Blu-ray player?
Not yet.
I buckled. I know.
I'm holding out for that next wave of things.
Don't.
I'm holding out for the day when you could actually just go to your TV and download anything that you possibly want.
Or they just
want.
Insert the movie into your eye socket.
Exactly.
Okay, good.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I'm waiting for Dreamscape. I'm waiting for, what was that one with
Dreamscape?
Natalie? Yeah, I'm waiting for the Natalie Wood, Christopher Walken movie.
Brainstorm.
Waiting for Brainstorm and Dreamscape as well.
I think Brainstorm is on DVD.
I don't
remember. Was it part of the Warner Brothers?
Yeah, but I'm waiting for
archive.
It to actually happen.
Oh, it actually
happened. Yes.
You just want to join Natalie Wood, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
I know. Okay, so here are some titles. Now, I cannot revamp my... Like, I can't do the VHS to Blu-ray thing. I just can't. So you have to have lots of goodies if you expect me to buy your thing. For instance, on Blu-ray, American Beauty.
Hmm. I was never a big fan of that.
You know
one.
What? I always thought of it as a dark version of Our Town. Mm. Embrace life, especially if you have Mina Savari living next door to you.
Yeah, that movie made me uncomfortable. That's the Petter ass.
Oh, that, yes. That and the Chris Cooper kissy shooty.
Yeah, I don't mind thing. That, but.
You don't mind getting smooching and shot?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Also,
I do mind watching little films of plastic bags floating, but...
Oh, but that's art. It's deep.
I know.
Thank
it's
you.
It's the most beautiful thing I've ever saw.
Thank you, Sam Mendes.
Sorry.
Also, that's all right. Also on Blu-ray from Criterion, Charade.
Oh, nice.
Not the one with Tandy Newton and Mark Wahlberg.
Oh. Then never mind.
No. This is the one... Oh, shut up. This is the one where Cary Grant... It's funny. In the latter years of his life, Cary Grant said, I can't be chasing after younger women. They should chase after me.
Mm-hmm.
That's the case with Audrey Hepburn in Charade. Shout Factory is putting out not one, but two double features of Gamera.
Oh, nice.
Gamera
versus Giron and Gamera versus Chaos?
Jiger. Or Liger, if you're into that.
Oh, nice.
Then,
bred for their skills in magic.
Thank you. Gamera versus Gaos, and then Gamera versus Viras.
Nice. Gamera versus Giron is one of my favorite films of all time.
Well, it's now available,
Very nice.
Can go get that. You'll appreciate this, since the kids...
I hope they're dubbed. That would be best.
I bet, you know what, if they're smart, they'll have both versions.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
For the kids film correspondent who couldn't be here today...
Uh-huh.
Tinkerbell and the Great Fairy Rescue.
Aww.
Which I've seen more previews and commercials for that thing on primetime television.
I have an 8-year-old daughter.
OMG.
I have the target audience in my house. And on
sorry.
No, it's the price I pay.
Mm-hmm.
Now she wants to get paid every time she comes on the show.
That's awesome.
I know. She's learning radio business the hard way. And finally, on Blue Underground Blu-ray, this has to have a commentary by the man himself. Vigilante.
Ooh.
You got to have Fred Williamson commentary.
Yeah.
And if you can get Robert Forster as well, that's pretty good too. But I got to watch two of the Fred Williamson films, Mean Johnny Barrows and
nice.
Death Journey, where he does do commentary.
Oh, nice.
So I think he should do all those. And, of course, I'm still waiting for the Blu-ray of Three the Hard Way.
That's the thing, about Fred Williamson that I like is the guy has just no ego about himself.
Not a lick. He is so
very humble.
Humble and... Yeah. He was actually one of the best interviews I've ever
really?
Done. I interviewed him for Film Threat.
Oh, nice.
Way
wow.
back when in the print days, back
yeah.
On the set of Original Gangsters in downtown Gary.
Nice.
But I'll save that for another time.
No, but Three the Hard Way does need to come
that
out on
does.
DVD.
That does. I think also Criterion should
yes.
get on their ass and make that one. We'll do the commentary on that one.
That sounds great.
And of course, so will Fred.
Yes.
All right, we're going to take a short break and then talk with Mike White, so stick around. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show, here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org.
That town is nowhere near as sleepy as it sounds.
I say fooey to those who say there's nothing to do in Indianapolis, and we bring it to you on the IndianapolisMusic.net podcast every week. It's a feature of our top 10 shows as voted on by music journalists across the city and our On Track artist featuring a local recording each and every week right here on the IndianapolisMusic.net podcast and WFYI HD2 Thursdays at 4 p.m.
Your opinion, man.
Opinions are like assholes. Everybody has one.
And on that note, welcome, Mike White.
Oh, how appropriate.
You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point, WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoci@WFYI.org. Also on Facebook, WFYI is also on Twitter, and the show is also available as a podcast and on iTunes on Monday. Melissa's working feverishly at the board. Mike White is here with me, the author of Impossibly Funk, a Cachet du Cinéma collection, and we'll get to him in just a second. We do have a few notes that we have to maybe, well, I would say raise a glass to Eddie Fisher, but I got a feeling right now, Debbie Reynolds, Elizabeth Taylor, and Carrie Fisher are all dancing on his grave right now. He also appeared, the singer, he only appeared really, ironically enough, in two notable films. Hmm. One with Debbie Reynolds, Bundle of Joy, one with Elizabeth Taylor, Butterfield 8.
Oh,
where she won Best Actress, quite possibly the best, no, the I should say, the worst Best Actress performance in a film. Butterfield 8's just bad.
She should have gotten it for Boom.
Oh, gosh. And the 60s and 70s films of Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton just fascinate me. It's kind of, you know, we joke in the past about Stallone and Sly and Seagal and all that stuff of like, who keeps giving these people money? I guess that's the thing.
Right.
And I remember, what was it? X, Y, and Z was on with Elizabeth Taylor and Michael Caine. And that was awful. And yeah, Boom is awful. And Reflections in a Golden Eye is just weird. And Ash Wednesday. And there was Dr. Faustus. There was the other Taylor Burton films you don't think about, Under Milkwood. You know, at least Burton eventually wound up doing Equus, but man, that's a 70s were a rough decade for Liz and Dick. It's just
that movie mentally scarred me.
Equus?
Yeah, I saw that one when I was way too young.
It's what I call any horse I ride on a carousel.
Mm.
So we'll give it up to Eddie Fisher. Also, 2-time Oscar nominee screenwriter Irving Ravitch just passed. He and his wife got Academy Award nominations for the screenplays of Hud and Norma Rae. Other noted films, Stanley and Iris, Murphy's Romance, Spike's Gang, Conrack, The Cowboys. These are the ones that killed John Wayne. Yeah. Way to go. The Reavers, a kid-friendly film with Steve McQueen, House of Cards, Ombre, which is another Elmore Leonard book that was actually made into a decent film.
Oh, well, that's a rarity.
That's right, with Paul Newman. Dark at the Top of the Stairs, and the thing that really put him on the map, the 1956 drama The Long Hot Summer, with a young, sweaty Paul Newman that many people liked back then. A couple other headlines for you, of course, from our number one news source here at Film Sociology, The Onion. Congress appropriates $3.17 to run Tango and Cash.
Mm.
Always good.
Worth it.
That's worth it. That's so bizarre. That's just, everybody really had a good time making that film, I can tell.
Yeah. That was an interesting one. I like the homage to Jackie Chan's Police Story in the beginning of that one.
Yeah, with the truck and
yeah,
mm-hmm.
That was nice.
Don't tell anybody where you got that.
Right,
it's really okay.
Exactly.
And of course, this just in last week from The Onion, classic movie Avatar updated for today's audiences.
Mm.
Lovely.
Good.
Mike White, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
He is a part of. Because you're representing the festival. It's all on your shoulders.
Oh, wow.
Sir. The B-Movie Celebration, which is happening this weekend.
If I fail,
in
the
Franklin,
whole film festival fails.
And the terrorists have won.
Yes.
And it's happening tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday at the Artcraft Theater, at the Canary Creek Drive-In, and some things at the B-Movie Classroom. That's where you'll be teaching,
yes,
sir. That's in Franklin City Hall. And you can go to bmoviecelebration.com for times and guests. And, like, Mike's going to be there, and Lloyd Kaufman, who I got to interview on AM last year. Fascinating guy.
Oh, yeah.
In his own zip code.
Oh, yeah.
And Jim Wynorski, the director of Chopping Mall, Big Bad Mama 2, and Transylvania Twist. Kelly Baker, who's the sound designer for many Gus Van Sant films. And what are you going to be speaking about, besides hawking your book, which we'll get to in a moment?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm going to be moderating the director's roundtable with Mr. Wynorski and Mr. Baker and Mr. Kaufman. And it seems like there's one other person that'll be there, and I'm going to be failing that person. And then shortly after that, I'll be on a panel of indie film bloggers and writers. It'll be myself, my friend Justin from MondoVideo.com, and another friend from Gut Munchers, a podcast, and hopefully another friend of mine who does a podcast who lives here in Indianapolis. He does two, and one of them is called Out of the Past. It's one of my favorite film noir podcasts.
Ah, okay, yeah. The Mitchum film.
Yes, exactly.
Cool.
Yeah, they cover all kinds of film noir. It's really nice, and they'll do good double features like The Big Sleep versus The Big Lebowski.
Not The Big Sleep against The Big Sleep?
No.
Okay.
No, just the one versus.
I see.
Yeah.
That's next on your queue list. We can't say Netflix because it's not really that. You borrowed my copy of The Big Lebowski.
I did.
We'll get to that.
Indefinitely.
Well, there are no late fees. I'll just guilt you. I'm just right in the same cubicle area as I am.
Yeah.
I'd like a double feature of The Big Lebowski and The Long Goodbye.
That would be good.
That's one of my favorite Altman films.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
It's just ridiculously fun,
yeah,
and sunny and
well,
lethargic.
I like that one and Murder, My Sweet together, because those two very different takes on...
That's true.
Yeah, Philip
like
Marlowe.
So, and you also have Impossibly Funky, a Cashier's Du Cinemark collection. Tell us about the book.
Well, the book just is coming out any day now, I hope. And it's coming out of Bear Manor Media from mm-hmm. Georgia. And it's about 390 pages, and it's pretty to look at. And it's been...
Great. Why don't you tell us the content, Smart Alec?
It is a collection of the best, and I'm doing air fingers... best articles from the zine that I wrote for about 14 years called Cashiers to Cinemart.
Mm-hmm.
And it covers a wide gamut of subjects that I wrote about for many, many years.
Such as? Or should I just open it up and hit chapter titles
sure,
with you?
Sure, just hit the chapters.
I'll hit chapter yeah. titles with you.
Do you it's, talk about The Room at all?
I do not talk about
no.
The Room, unfortunately.
But he approves of The Room.
I
so.
Definitely approve of The Room.
All right.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh, you interviewed Monty Hellman.
Yes, I did.
How'd that go?
That was great. That was really nice.
I just found, well, it's the that company that puts out the double features mm-hmm. with the trailers, but a Cockfighter is on that, and animals were definitely harmed in the making of that film.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
What were you talking to him about?
I was talking to him about Cockfighter, Two Lane Blacktop. It's kind of, it ties nicely together. I did an interview with him, and he directed Cockfighter, and... I'm a huge Williford fan, and he wrote the book that it was based on, so mm-hmm. it was kind of a nice tie-in.
Now, I know you were in the Non Nouveau this past week. That'd be the daily paper.
Okay.
And
I'm looking at you cross-eyed like, what? Non Nouveau? Is that some French thing?
Well, the Nouveau is the thing, but that's my other thing when I'm not here. But I remember they had a listing of your five favorite. Now, did you actually rattle off five, or did you have to...
Oh.
Or is this on a little laminated card?
No
this is...
I'll change my list every
that's
day.
That's what though. I thought. However, because I saw it on the list, and it's here in the book,
okay.
Black Shampoo.
Yes.
One
of my favorite
films. How did that become your favorite?
Oh, gosh.
Welcome to Blaxploitation Hipster Cinema, hosted by the white guy.
Black Shampoo...
That's just bizarre.
Oh, yeah. I saw that film first in... 1989, maybe 88,
uh-huh.
December 26th, I remember the day as if it were yesterday.
That lives in infamy.
Yeah.
What were the circumstances that you were besides the day after Christmas?
Oh, yeah, a bunch of my friends, my high school friends, we were together, and we went over to Blockbuster and found that one in the action section, and just the cover spoke to us. I don't know how we passed that by so many times. He's bad, he's mean, he's a killing machine.
No Warren Beatty in this one, folks.
No. Took that back to one of our houses and watched it one snowy evening, and our lives were changed forever.
That kind of sounds like us in the room. But also, I would say, would you say crazier than Disco Godfather?
They're both crazy in their own kind of way.
They are very crazy. Yeah. Put your weight on it.
Yeah.
Says there's the great Rudy Ray Moore.
Oh, yeah. There's definitely less... humor in Black Shampoo, more funk.
That's true.
And, the score is amazing with the Gerald Lee doing the score on that. And, yeah, it really changed us. After that, our lives were kind of dedicated to that whole film.
To promote it and push
mm-hmm.
it along.
Exactly.
Good for you. That also, Criterion, you should put that out on DVD.
Well, the VCI version is very nice. They did a great DVD transfer of that.
Were there goodies on it?
Yeah. There was my interview with John Daniels, my interview with Graydon Clark, maybe even my interview with Skippy Lowe was in there, but and then I wrote the liner notes for it.
Nicely done.
And then Graydon Clark did the commentary. Yeah,
I guess send
nice.
Me a copy of that. I'd love to hear
all
that.
Right.
And you did a whole part on Tarantino.
Mm-hmm.
What is in it?
It's kind of the whole story of my... 15 minutes of fame with the New York Underground Film Festival back in 1995 when I had a movie in there called Who Do You Think You're Fooling, which cut together Quentin Tarantino's Reservoir Dogs and Ringo Lam's City on Fire, which if you haven't seen that, it's kind of similar to Reservoir Dogs.
I remember, I think it was the issue I did for Film Threat of Fred Williamson where Michael Mann basically redid Heat as a TV. He did it as a TV movie in the late
LA Takedown.
Thank you, and kind of threw that
redid
back.
Redid that over there.
And how'd that work out for you?
Well,
did he spit on you?
No, he didn't spit on me or slap me.
Well, that's nice.
I've never met the man, unfortunately. So, or fortunately, I might have.
The case may be.
Might have to put out a restraining order.
But. Well, I guess if you it wouldn't hurt if you acknowledged that it's an homage to Mr. Lamb's work, I guess.
But he never really did.
No.
No. A lot of people tell me, oh, yeah, he acknowledged it. I'm just, like, waiting for the proof
where?
Still. Yeah, exactly.
Do you go online and check every few weeks?
I read it somewhere. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. The internet.
Right.
Read it on Wikipedia.
I read it on the internet.
How did you start getting into not just B movies but movies in general? Because I don't think as a kid you're like, Dad, I want to see a B movie.
Well, I grew up watching movies. My mom used to take me to movies all the time, and she took me to movies that I didn't understand, but
you went
still
anyway.
still found amusing. I wasn't all about the kids' movies. I was all about whatever she was going to take me to see.
What'd she take you to see?
Murder by Death is the one that always stands out for me.
Truly Capote acting.
Yeah, yeah. And then my favorite story is the only time I've ever been refused admittance to an R-rated movie was going to see Blade Runner when it was first out. I'm 10 years old. And the guy at the ticket counter...
Actually paid attention.
Yeah, he wouldn't sell me a ticket. Wouldn't sell a ticket to an R-rated movie to a 10-year-old. Can you believe that?
I'm shocked.
I know.
I'm stunned.
It was great, though, because I was like, no, seriously, my mom's parking the car right now. He's like, yeah, sure, kid, move along. Next thing I know, my mom's up behind me. What's going on? What's the matter? I'm like, he won't sell me a ticket. I have to see this Han Solo, isn't it?
That's
true. Don't you understand?
And his droning voiceover work that he hated.
Oh, but I love that voiceover.
Do you?
I love the voiceover.
Oh,
I mean, the whole Cole Fish line, that's one of my favorite things.
Where did you grow up?
Downriver, south of Detroit.
Where?
Down in Riverview was my hometown. Yeah.
Yeah. I grew up in Flint. Dad
Very
used
nice.
To take me. We had the Capitol Theater where I got to see. And that's where all of the, I guess you would call it a grindhouse nowadays. We just called it the downtown ghetto movie theater. And that's where, you know, the films of Fred Williamson and Bruce Lee and the Italian zombie films and the Mexican action films.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they all were. Dad took me to those as well. So look how well we turned out.
Yeah, exactly.
We're a product of our generation.
Yeah, unfortunately, I never got to see very many of those good films in the theater. I was luckily raised in the age of video. So.
Well, unfortunately, I got a feeling the VHS copyright law is not nearly as strict as, say, DVD and Blu-ray.
No.
So, come on, guys. There's a lot of great films that need to be put onto a disc or a computer.
Oh,
Help us out, will you, please? I like Rolling Thunder in my hands, not just reading it on the computer. I'm one of those old curmudgeon-y type people. So, what are you looking forward to seeing this weekend at the festival?
Well, I'm looking forward to pretty much everything that's showing there, not to be too broad about it. But really, everything that's there, I wish I could see everything, but there are a lot of competing features.
I know, like tonight is The Good, the Bad, and the Weird.
Yep, which I've seen and enjoyed.
And, of course, Death Race 2000, Chopping Mall.
Classic.
The Blob, Rocky Horror, The Commune, Dead Matter, and Shanty Tramp. And apparently Dead Snow, apparently, which I should probably go see for research purposes.
Have you seen The American Astronaut?
Yes.
Yeah, that's playing. That's one of my favorites.
So, folks, there's plenty out there. Go to bmoviecelebration.com. Who's publishing the book? Who published the book?
Bear Manor Media.
When's the release date? Are you going to start doing book signings and readings
with
an ascot and a cappuccino?
Yes. A big, long pipe. Yes.
For medicinal purposes.
Exactly. I have started doing my book readings and tours last week, and it continues through December.
Well, here's some words to live by, I think. Maybe.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Mike White, thank you for sitting in. Enjoyed the B-Movie Celebration.
Thank
we'll
you
come
very
back
much, sir.
Anytime. Anytime.
Great.
Melissa, good to see you. I'm sure I'll see you soon.
Thank you.
In and out of the studio. You'll give us the Lebowski update.
Hi, Melissa.
Oh, bye, Melissa.
Oh, you look so beautiful today.
No, why?
You're my favorite customer.
I'm trying to end this show, and everybody betrays me. Go see a good movie. You deserve it. You're listening to WFYI HD2 The Point. This is Film Sociology. Good night.